It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective right here, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates, the original podcast of the Pirates. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the original ladies man, Kyle Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? How are you?
Doing fantastic. I've got to get you, there's a topic I want to talk about. I'll save that for a minute. But I'm going to get you your favorite soda. I'm going to find a way that we can get the word out that if Bubba can't do it, we'll get that soda to you. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, man?
Not much. Just headed home from the ball field. Went to watch my nephew Griffin play tonight. He and my younger nephew Archer had a game, so went to check them out. Riley wanted to celebrate his birthday, his ninth birthday. Turned nine this morning at a little after 8 o'clock. So he wanted to go see his cousins play baseball for his birthday.
Y'all are just you and your sister there. Is that your sister's kids?
No, this is my sister-in-law. Stephanie, it's her kids.
Okay. Well, your whole family, both sides with Riley and Archer and Griffin, y'all are just keeping those white suburban new age names just coming, boy. Y'all are strong with that.
Travel ball kings and queens.
How you said? Yeah. Y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, I lost you guys for a moment there, but I believe you said white suburban.
White suburban.
It's pretty funny because they drive a white suburban.
Well, there you go.
That's podcast goal right there.
How appropriate.
So, guys, I have a topic to mention. But before I mention that, that I was going to bring briefly before we talk sports, we have an APB. We got to solve a problem for Kyle. And we're going to help Bubba out because he lives in that area. But those in the, the Charlotte area, right, Kyle, you have a favorite drink.
Western part of the state, Charlotte, Statesville. I know you can get it at Statesville. That's my go-to place when I'm headed to Tennessee to get it. Cherry Lemon Sun Drop. If it's available in your area, please contact me and send me some because my boy Bubba Rosenbaum just won't hook me up. He comes down east and has
that's a lie.
Well, you have
Nation and any other listeners.
It's not a lie. It's 100%.
It was a fairly last minute trip last time, and I had thought about it, but then just everything that's going on to get out of town, I did not make it a point. Kyle, I have it on my calendar. Assuming that I am able to attend the Tulane game here in a couple weeks, I promise you, you'll have more than your share of Cherry Lemon Sun Drop.
All right. He dropped out there at the end. Cherry Lemon Sun Drop.
I said, I promise you, you'll have more than your share of Cherry Lemon Sun Drop here in a couple weeks if I can attend the Tulane game. I can't attend the Tulane game, you will have it whenever I'm next down in Greenville.
All right. I believe you.
All right, so the topic, that's the reason that was a nice segue into Coca-Cola last week. I don't know if you saw this, Kyle, because you were the epitome of, you are the soda connoisseur like I am. I don't know, Bubba. Bubba
Bubba's the cheerwine guy.
Yeah, well, I'm a cheerwine guy too, but he doesn't drink as many sodas as I think you and I do. But Coca-Cola last week announced they're going to get rid of, 200
different. Yeah, but you know what? A lot of that stuff is very limited markets, right. And a lot of it's garbage. Stuff you don't even realize Coke's making, and some of it isn't sodas. The only thing that I saw on that list that I drink, and it's not something I drink regularly. No, I didn't look through the whole damn list, but what I saw that they're getting rid of, the only thing that I drink off of it was Sprite Lemonade, which isn't always easy to find. But besides that, everything else on that list was just garbage anyway.
What about Tab? Don't you drink Tabs?
No, I do not. I've never drank a Tab in my life.
Mike, I mean, that's so 1980s. Like, we were joking about that. You remember I was telling you about that?
I don't even think you can get Tab in this market. I don't
know where
Tabs,
you can get one.
I don't think Tab's been available in Eastern North Carolina Since the early 90s.
I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, so it's not like it's a huge loss. I'll tell you the one that we're getting ready to get to sports, I promise, folks, but the one that you and I love, and I thought about it today when I reached in the cooler and got it at work, and that is, please don't get rid of that Coke Zero. That Cherry Coke Zero is one of my favorite drinks.
I can't find Cherry Coke Zero anywhere in the Kinston area right now.
Really?
It is the best diet. Yeah. It is the best diet drink out there.
Yeah.
By far. And the problem is,
that too.
All right, appreciate it. The problem when I can't find Cherry Coke Zero is I drink nothing. I will drink a Coke Zero, but what inevitably happens is I get tired of Coke Zero, and Cherry Coke Zero is my favorite diet drink. So I inevitably just drink regular drinks. I just drink Sun Drop Cokes and Cherry Cokes, and that ain't good for you.
No, and they, one of my favorite, I love Diet Dr. Pepper and Diet Mountain Dew. But my favorite right now, those are pushed aside because the Cherry Coke Zero, whatever, is that right? I don't even know what the right title is.
Yeah, that's right. Cherry Coke Zero.
Yep. Okay. Cherry Coke Zero is my absolute favorite right now. And, not that it's the soda objective, but I just thought that was interesting that you and I love sodas and that, you're right. The list of that really, they're doing that to move those products out. They probably should have, like Tab. They probably should have got rid of that, discontinued that years ago.
Yeah, I will say that the Sprite Lemonade, and we will get to sports. Sprite Lemonade is good. I don't think they marketed it enough. A lot of people didn't even know it existed.
I didn't. That's yours truly. I would have had that.
You said Sprite Lemonade?
Yeah, Sprite Lemonade is one of the drinks.
Yeah, Coke's discontinued.
Exactly. I don't think they marketed it very well, but it's pretty good when you can find it. They're doing away with it, though.
All right, let's talk sports. We don't want to get rid of that for sure. And, man, 2020, they've tried to get rid of every sport we have. But anyway, that's a whole another. We'll have to get Dr. Bream, I think, in the next couple weeks to talk about the COVID outbreak. We'll do that whenever we get more firm numbers. But that's going to be, let's keep our fingers crossed as we talk Pirate football. Big game, guys, this week. And one of the things I want to mention to you guys, I know Kyle, I'll give you credit because you sent in that group text yesterday. Pirates are, what, 18.5 point dogs? Is that right? To Tulsa this week?
Yeah, as of yesterday. I didn't check the line today, but yeah. I mean, Tulsa's good. They're real good. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anybody expected them to be that good this year. You saw them play Oklahoma State and you wondered, is that just Oklahoma State coming out flat? Oklahoma State's a top five football team. They're the real deal. And, you know, Tulsa had their chances against Oklahoma State. They followed that up. They upset UCF. They come back and upset UCF. Then they just destroy South Florida this weekend. I don't like how we match up with them. I don't like our lines against their lines. I do think we can cover that line. I would take us with the points.
Right.
I think we're playing well, and I don't think we're going to win the game, but I think we can keep it to 17 or less.
And at least some of the betting public does as well, guys. I just checked, and the line has gone it's dropped a half a point down to 18.
Yeah, I they could beat us by three touchdowns easily, but I just got a feeling we're going to play well. I think it's a tough game. I wish you wish you'd beat Navy, but that's over with. I wish you played somebody else. I mean, there ain't an easy game left on the schedule, though. You say you wish Temple was next, or you wish – Tulane was next. Those ain't easy games either. I wish Tulsa and Cincinnati would have happened. Unfortunately, COVID kept that from happening. I'm wondering,
they might meet in this regular season, but as far as they might meet in the championship, right?
Right. Yeah, that was kind of my point. They're going to play SMU later. They already beat UCF. Memphis also. Tulsa wouldn't surprise me if they end up surprising a whole lot of people and sneak in to that conference championship game. I'm telling you, I think they're that good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, my gut feeling before you told me that, just debating in my head, and obviously I didn't know anything, like the line. My gut feeling is the 18 is strong. I would say the 10 points, 14 point range is more what I feel like the game will be. Not, I don't think I have the Pirates this week as much as I love them. on the road. They're playing really well, but that was my gut feeling is 10 to 14 points. But Tulsa's that good, and we're playing better, but on the road, I don't know, you would have to think that defense and special teams would offense has to play out of their mind. Defense and special teams have to make some plays and some scores to have a chance to win it, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us to pull the upset on the road, we need some big special teams play. You probably need a turnover or two.
Yeah.
And sometimes what you need to have happen is for somebody not to play well. You know, Tulsa's played well. They only played three games. They played well in all three. And, you know, there's going to be a game where somebody comes out flat and doesn't play well. And that's when you really can pull off an upset if you can, if you're playing well and they ain't. And sometimes that's what you need to have happen is you need them not to play well. So we'll see. I think Tulsa's probably got a lot to prove still and still hungry. Coach Montgomery, you know, he's on the hot seat bigger than anybody. I mean, I believe these are the last year of his contract. Which you never see. You never, very seldom do you see in the world of college football where you leave somebody in the last year of their contract. It's terrible for recruiting. And you wonder if what they've done there by doing that, he's going to have a good year this year to keep his job, but it's going to screw him up for this recruiting class.
And,
but who knows what will happen Friday night. You never know. There's always a chance. Guys, I believe this – is this their first home game?
It is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah,
it is home. And, by the way, Kyle, you made a nice segue there for me. Bubba, Kyle, you made that very point that you were just talking about being in the last year of the contract last year to Kelly Hines of the Tulsa World, and she's going to be with us right on Bubba on Wednesday.
Yep, we'll have our Pirate preview on Wednesday this week rather than Thursday with the Friday ball game, 9 o'clock kickoff. So make sure you're getting plenty of rest between now and then. Kelly Hines from the Tulsa World, she'll join us at 8 o'clock, but the first half hour, starting at 7:30, we'll be joined by Travis Simmons, who was the defensive back for the Pirates and had a big day against a lot of people, but one of those being Tulsa, and I think he had multiple quality performances against Tulsa, but that 2008 championship game comes to mind. He had a pick six in the Pirates' victory in their first of consecutive Conference USA titles.
Man, we need him back and to pull off two pick sixes, but maybe some trick plays, all that kind of stuff is on the table. That's one of the things that I loved about Coach Houston is he's been doing that for special. The special teams play has been outstanding. Defense is playing better. And hey, what about hey, Kyle, here's another point I want to bring up to you and Bubba. I was thinking about knowing we were going to talk about this is the very fact maybe this is the game where I think you mentioned, Kyle, where that we have video game numbers from the offense where they could put 40, 50 points up. That's what it's going to take to beat Tulsa.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Looking at their line.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you that their talent is.
I'm not sure. I'm not actually sure that that's the case, though, Dave. I think their defense is their strength. I think we can maybe match up okay with their offense. So I don't know that it'll take 40 to 50. I don't think their offense is bad by any means, but I think their defense is the strength of their team.
I understand that. Especially when you hold a team like Oklahoma State, what was that, 16 points that first game? I think it was 16-7.
17. I think it was 17-7.
Okay. Yeah, but it was a low total for a team that's has a chance to make. I don't think they're going to make the college football playoff, but they're on the bubble that they, who knows, with the Cowboys, they might make the Final Four. We'll have to wait and see.
Oh, Oklahoma State, yeah. If they can win the Big 12, yeah. I think they're the Big 12's only chance. I mean, Oklahoma already has two losses, so does Texas. So, no, if Oklahoma State can run the table, or maybe even with one loss.
Iowa State.
Maybe even with one loss, they can win the Big 12.
Now, Iowa State, Dave, has two losses now because Oklahoma State just beat them. Of course, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's what – yeah.
If Oklahoma State can go through the league with just one loss then win the conference championship game, I think they can make the playoff. Otherwise, nobody from the Big 12 is going to be in the playoff.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be – It's going to be really interesting. Hey, by the way, I want to get your thoughts, guys, on the Big Ten. What were your takeaways? Do you think there was a guy that called it one of our favorites, Luganville College Football Sunday and Sunday morning, Bubba. And he was so down about it. It was hilarious. I listened to it yesterday morning on SiriusXM. He was so down on the Buckeyes that you would have thought that's what Luganville said. It sounds like they lost the game. But he wasn't happy with the play of Ohio State on Saturday.
What did he want?
He was just talking about it was like
he was mad that Fields only completed 95% of his passes.
Yes. Hey, he was the Captain Bill of that show.
I mean, Ohio State looked pretty damn good to me.
I think they're definitely worthy.
Penn State, on the other hand, I'm gonna tell you what, man, Penn State. They sleptwalked through most of that game against Indiana. Not taking away anything from Indiana. And the hell of a rally by Indiana there in the end.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I don't know. Bubba, did you ever get a chance to go back and watch that to see how Ohio State could have just ran out the clock in quarter number? Yeah, Penn State. I'm sorry, Penn State. How Penn State could have just ran out the clock and instead scored another touchdown. Indiana comes back, scores 8 points, sends it to overtime, wins it in overtime.
Yeah, that's what
I saw. How the running back, like you said, could have fallen down. Unfortunately for Penn State, he did not. But you're talking about that game and Penn State just blowing some opportunities. I mean, they outgained Indiana something like 485 to 215 or something crazy, but just squandered some opportunities. Maybe they had the ball in their coming out about their own 10 or 15 yard line and threw a pick where it set up a short field for Indiana. Some stuff like that allowed them to lose that ball game despite doubling them up in total yardage.
Yeah, no, it was one of those games where you could tell Penn State was clearly the better football team, but Indiana just took advantage of their opportunities. Penn State made some dumb mistakes like score a touchdown instead of just running the clock out. And, Indiana was just destined to win that game. When you watch that, the way that happened and then the way they managed to get the 2-point conversion, then get it again in overtime, you know, the call went their way. It was called a 2-point conversion good on the field. Because if they'd have called that conversion in overtime not good, it would have stood also. So Indiana was just meant to win that game.
No question. You know what? The days of Indiana being just a basketball school, they've got a nice program up there. And you want to talk about the Big Ten. The Big Ten has really, really improved. Look at all the Big Ten teams out there that the Indiana's of the world. And how about here's another one, too, that we were laughing at the hire, the late, great Dave Shepard, that was supposed to be the original host of the show, co-host. It went to Illinois, and when they hired, and he was, of course, a big Chicago Bears fan. When they hired Lovie Smith, he and his friends were just from college were just livid. But they're starting to build that program. I mean, it's not like obviously Wisconsin or Ohio State or Michigan or anything like that. But they certainly are on the rise compared to what they were.
Yeah, well, last year they had beaten Wisconsin in Champaign a year ago, and I had a feeling that Wisconsin would come out with a point to prove after falling to the Illini a season ago, and they did that. But speaking of Wisconsin, their quarterback tested positive for COVID, very talented freshman.
Oh, wow.
His name escapes me at the moment, but he will be out for 3 or 4 weeks now. So be interesting to see how the Badgers see if they can stay in the conference as well as the playoff punt in the meantime. But some other takeaways I had, how about what Michigan did going to Minnesota? Yeah. PJ Flex done well there in Minneapolis, but Michigan looked good. And then how about Rutgers? What a return for Greg Schiano going to Michigan State in what was the first game for their new head coach, Mel Tucker. And really, it was crazy, guys. Last year, Rutgers only forced 10 turnovers all season. They forced 7 on Saturday in that win over Sparty.
Yeah, no, Greg Schiano just leaves Rutgers, whatever, 5 to 10 years ago, and he comes back and just picks up where he left off. Still chopping wood, baby. Schiano's a hell of a coach. And look, y'all all know, of all the Power 5 schools, Tennessee would be my favorite. And the fact that their fan base just acted like complete idiots when they wanted to hire Greg Schiano. I mean, he's a hell of a football coach.
Yes.
And for him to go in game one, and I know Michigan State's in a rebuild also, and that's, you know, Tucker's first game as head coach, but
still,
you figure in East Lansing, the way they recruited versus the way Rutgers recruited, that's a huge win for Rutgers.
Yeah, huge win for them.
With them being in the Big Ten East, obviously they got the work cut out for them. That goes without saying. But if he gets that program to the point where he had it before, where they're winning 8, 9, 10 games consistently, that Tennessee AD, you know, he's just going to be looking at some people and just kind of smirking like, hey, I told you we should have hired the guy.
I mean, where's he
at now? They ran him off too. Where's he at now?
I would have to look it up. I can't recall.
Well, Phil Fulmer is the AD now, but I mean, that's the thing is that they basically was like, we have the Greenville Mafia. Everybody has them. We have it at ECU where they do still off the field. And
it was their whole damn fan base. It was,
I know, but I'm just saying that it was that, and they, I don't know why they had anything against him when he's a winner. I mean, flat out winner. Here's the thing. He has, in my opinion, and I'm not in the fan club. I mean, I like him a lot, but I know you guys, especially Kyle, will talk to Schiano. He could coach East Carolina any day of the week for me. We have Mike Houston. I'm just saying he's that good of a coach. He has the grit to make it at Tennessee and the SEC. And not to take away from Pruitt, but I mean, Schiano was a great hire. And for them to just take that away and pull the rug from out the AD was so terrible. And it just goes back to show you that I'm not anti the University of Tennessee. They've got a great stadium. They do have a great fan base, but that just goes to show you that they got in their own way, and they could, I mean, they could have a quality coach. I'm not anti Pruitt, but I would definitely rather have Schiano than Pruitt. Wouldn't you?
Based on proven track record. Yeah. I think a lot of it was, you know, a lot of their fans wanted the Harbor back to when he was at, I guess he was at Penn State as an assistant for part of that time with, you know, what all happened up there. But I really think it was nothing more than, you know, Schiano is a Northeastern guy, and Tennessee wanted a Southern coach. I really think that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. And you know what? I could care less. I want to win football games. As long as they're doing well in the classroom. And there's no.
Oh, they do too. They do too. They just didn't think he'd win the SEC.
They're crazy.
Yeah, they're wrong. He's a great coach.
About 5 years ago, when I was at Concord High School, that's when he was defense coordinator at Ohio State, and he came to Concord recruiting a few players. And when he did, had the opportunity while he's waiting on our head coach to show up to have a little brief conversation with him. In that
Sheldon
little
coming to Carolina.
And that, I was thinking it. No, I didn't bring that up. But I think I've, not surprisingly, had some Pirate stuff on that day, as I typically do. And we got to talking a little bit, and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, hey, I'd love to have you in Greenville instead of what we're dealing with.
I believe, guys, his wife is an East Carolina graduate.
Now that you bring that up, Kyle, I want to say he said that day. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she is.
And so he would have no problems, and I have no problems with that guy. Yeah. I think he's a great coach, but we have.
I don't think we're going to be hiring him away from Rutgers. But
not only that, but we have a. Don't get me wrong, we have a great coach now, and there's no question that Mike Houston is going to turn the program around and already.
Yeah, he will. And when he does, we're going to be looking for another head coach. So you can talk about other coaches. Either way, eventually we're going to need another head coach. Is it because he doesn't turn it around or because he does turn it around? And I think it'll be because he does.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that, speaking of SEC, how many people right now would think that Mike Houston couldn't make it in the SEC?
I think because of his personality and his coaching style, and he is a Southern boy, I think if he does turn it around here, I think he'll get those opportunities.
Yeah, no question. And it's going to be an interesting game coming up on Friday night. By the way, are we doing a midnight special for the Pirate playback? It's going to be about 12:30 when that game ends on early Saturday morning.
We win. If we pull off the upset, yes. We'll commit to it now. If we pull the upset, yes. If we don't, no.
Okay.
Hey, if we can, as far as I'm concerned, Kyle, if I'm not going to where?
If you're not going to where are you going?
Sleepy Land.
Oh, Sleepy Land. That's right. That's where Bubba goes. Bubba goes to Sleepy Land.
And I've never heard that. That's a new one. All right. If you want to. Bubba
likes for me to talk to him in that voice and talk about Sleepy Land.
Hey, whoa now.
Hey now. Bubba, you want to go to our first guest?
Yeah, earlier today, today being Monday the 26th, we caught up with Ruben Fothery. Who's he, you ask? He is the head basketball coach at Foster High School down in Richmond, Texas. Well, what an excellent city name. And
I like it.
We caught up with Ruben talking about Chancellor White, one of his players, class of 22, committing to East Carolina here a couple weeks ago. And let's go to that conversation right now.
Well, very excited to have another big recruit, Bubba, in the state of Texas coming our way to Greenville, coming actually for the class of 22.
Yeah, Coach Dooley and staff have really been doing well on the recruiting trail a couple weeks ago. A commitment from Foster High School down in Richmond, Texas. Chancellor White, who's a 6'6", 175-pound shooting guard for those guys. And very excited right now to talk to his head high school coach, Ruben Fothery. Coach Fothery, welcome in.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Very excited to have you on because we're obviously Bubba and I are pro ECU, everything ECU. And the fact our basketball team has been, to say that it's been bad is an understatement for many years of program. Coach Dooley's come back. We call it Joe Dooley 2.0. And I think he's done a nice job of recruiting. I just want to get your take first on Coach Dooley before we talk about your player.
Sounds good.
So, what are your thoughts on Coach Joe Dooley? Obviously, Joe Dooley is someone who had a background. He'd been head coach, like Dave said, at East Carolina before, but then had also been at New Mexico, Wyoming, and then at Kansas. That's what really stands out, being part of Bill Self's staff. So what are your thoughts on Coach Dooley's background and just the reputation he has in the game?
Well, anytime you can get to those type of programs – and you learn and you soaking up stuff and then you get the opportunity to have your own and bring all of that with you. Oh, that's a huge plus because you get to dissect, use what you want for your program and throw out what you didn't want to use. And that background that truly going to help. And I guess as we can all see, it's helping. Now you just need to put the players in place. And he's definitely off and doing that. Got a good one coming your way.
Now, talking about Chancellor, when you look at Chancellor, I know he received the offer from the Pirates, if I'm not mistaken, back the first week of August. And so talk about his recruitment. And I know I believe it was Coach Steve Rocafort that was handling it primarily.
I think, I was worried about some of the guys just because of that AAU season. And, you know, it was just a tough season with the COVID going on and whatnot. But you talk about a young man that made the most of his opportunities during his age.
Talk about.
He got it pretty good. He did what he needed to get himself out there.
What Pirate fans will be able to see and for when he comes to Greenville?
They're getting a great kid. Let's remove basketball from it. You got a good young man you want on your campus. You want a part of any organization because he's a great kid. Basketball-wise, you're getting a high IQ, a big-time competitor. He's going to find a way to win. He's going to will a way to win. Ah, sorry about that.
I'm a school teacher as well. I know who that is.
Yeah, we know that. We're all
Sorry about that. It's that time. But getting back to Chancellor, what he was getting, I mean, I think, you know, he separated himself as a freshman of what he was going to be capable of doing and what he's going to bring to anyone. To watch him grow the way he has for me in 5A basketball, just awesome. You know, every now and then we get lucky as coaches and we get a Chancellor White, that lent the skill set. I love the jump shot. That's what probably started setting him apart. You leave him open for that three ball, no matter where it's at, he's going to knock it down. He's going to get to the rim. And this year, preseason and all our offseason work, now he's getting to the rim trying to flush on people. So he's, you know, that confidence is just starting to fly through the roof. Exactly what you need when you're going to a D1 program. But most important is that defense. You got to separate yourself from that defense. You know, everybody's going to be pretty much a go-getter on that offensive. But if you can play D, I think that'll separate you. And he now ops, coach, let me get the best dude. I got him. Which is, you know, as a high school coach, you want that. Usually you have some that get scared and run away. But, no, he's going to take the best dude, and he's going to give it back to him on the offensive end.
What you're saying, Coach, about him knocking down those perimeter shots when he's open, that's very encouraging to hear because, of course, all I've seen thus far are just highlights. And so when I read about him on 24/7 and just said talented, smooth two-guard with ideal size for the position, very basketball savvy and has the ability to create space and score in a variety of ways, but he needed improvement and more consistency with his jumper. So that's awesome to hear that he is developing that or has developed that.
Yes, yeah, and it's going to continue. Like, you know, I've been on him. We've had a pretty tough offseason here where I kind of get some muscles on him in a hurry, get him just a little heavier or whatnot, and get him a little discombobulated or whatnot. But he's the first one to go back to doing what he, you know, needs to do. He knows how important that jump shot is and to be a little stronger getting it off. You know, the last 2 years, he's the first one in and the last one out because he's got to get on that gun and get them jump shots up. And that's what he does, and it takes a whole deal, you know, early on because our season is just, there's no tournaments. You know, we're trying to force all these games. So they have to do what they've been doing a little faster, in which it's not a problem for him. And being the lead, one of the leaders on the team, the others have kind of followed suit. But he knows how important that jumper is for us to be successful also this year. So, and it's coming on nicely. He's nothing short of, he's so confident when in transition, he'll stop and pop. I encourage that. I got no problem. And that's not from everyone. But there are guys on the team that I got to live with that, and I'm going to, because you can shoot. But it's coming on nicely. And it's just going to be fun to watch him, no doubt, get a little better. These last 2 years, big shots, big games. You know, we started last year, the top three teams in the state of Texas were in our district. It was, you know, we had to take them on without some of the guys. We utilized dual sport athletes. I've got football players that come on. So we had to take on some of that without them. Obviously, you know, the cream rises. He did. He'll finish those games with a lot, just need a little more help. But that jumper has a long way to go because if you close out on him, he's going to blow by you.
Hey, Coach, when you're talking about the three-point shooting, there were, Bubba and I have talked about a handful of games last year for East Carolina where you make two or three three-pointers, you win the game. And I think it was six games or something right there. A number of games that East Carolina lost 10 points or less that if we'd had his shooting, it'd be nice to when we have him shooting in a couple of years to really make a difference, especially when we're competing in a big boy league like the American.
Yes. Yes, sir. And I really think, you know, Coach saw that and jumped on that. Even though he's a smooth individual and slasher to that rim, that elbow and short corners, but that just nothing as pretty as that deep three ball off of a point guard that then drawn to and kicking. It's just pretty and locked down. So yeah, I'll have several plays for him coming off screens. We're going to utilize it. One thing I needed to make sure I do this year is utilize it a little more. But he knows the game and he knows when to pull that shot up. And it's pretty. It's a high release, nice rotation. He was his dad, you know, good family, basketball guy. Yeah, someone got to him really early before I got my hands on him. And I'm thankful for that because it's nice. He's going to do well there. He's going to do well.
Coach, let's talk about Chancellor's recruitment a little bit. Per 24/7 Sports, he had been offered by the likes of University of Houston, Rice, Oral Roberts, who's had some excellent basketball down through the years, in addition to others. So talk about that side of things, and then also what sold him on East Carolina. And we talked about that relationship between him and Coach Dooley a little bit already. But Chancellor said that he loved how Coach Joe Dooley ran his system, and how his guys really played for him and how they run their offense. So what sold Chancellor on the Pirates?
Again, you know, it's he was around a lot of conversations with my son and then me just talking about how you have to find your fit. That's going to be one of the things you really want to make sure that you can find your fit and you can find your family. Someone you can go up there and relax, not play tense. You're going to have to love it. It's going to test your passion. That's just next level. So there's some things you want to definitely have as a given. Make sure you're comfortable where you're at and make sure you're enjoying the family atmosphere, that home away from home. Coach Dooley jumped on it. He stayed with him. He found it. He still had others, coming after him. You know, he was still talking to others, but, it's all about, even though you're talking to him, the facilities don't do it. And I'm glad he matured, enough to where he knew it's not going to be about the facilities and whatnot. It's going to be about where do I fit? How is that family atmosphere? And who's going to develop me? And Coach jumped on that and got the reward, so to speak, at the end, because here he comes.
Coach, what about the fact that in the American, obviously a player like him, he can come in early and contribute, because East Carolina is trying to build a program versus a blue blood like a Duke of Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina that they'd be playing. Maybe he would be able to play, but it'd be limited on his first year coming in.
Yes, and I think he is well aware of that. But and that's the chancellor that you'll get. Let me just get up here and show you what I need to do and what all I can bring you. Again, after he gets understands the system and gets in that comfort zone, you guys are going to enjoy that three ball, and I think those minutes will go up because at the end of the day, we both know hold your man, play some defense, and be able to knock down the three ball.
Coach, you talk about him developing that outside shot that some thought he needed to do, really, you know, what's, in your opinion, where you see him, you know, consistently, obviously, what does he need to improve before getting to Greenville, and what are – one or two things that he may need to really improve on? And I know you mentioned that defense.
I like him. I want to see him get a little more, take some contact more. He's worked over the summer creating that space in the event he has to get that ball, get the three ball off, or even the mid-ranges. So that he's kind of on his own, which was great. I'd like to see him take some more contact and finish, especially when he gets to the rim. I want to get the ball into that that high release quicker off of screens to pull that, to make sure that if there's lack of space, he's at least above the defender to get it off. I guess in the whole thing about it is, you know, being able to knock it down with a little more pressure on you. You know, it's going to be about physicality. It's going to be about – and I want him to be able to take that. He has shown, but – you know, I want to see it get better as he continues to mature and develop. We don't want to slide back, if you will. I want to make sure he stays at his level and goes up from his level.
What about one thing, Coach? Is this like a pipeline? You can get a lot of your great players to come to Greenville, to East Carolina for the future.
Oh, hey, if they're, believe you me, they're going to be watching Chancellor. They're going to listen to everything he says. And if I got the kind of guys I can push D1, hey. Let's do it, because if I'm pushing D1 Chancellor to, he's, you know, hey, I've got a pretty good program starting to roll out here. And we've been successful. We've won a lot of games. But like I said, that how often do you get a Chancellor White with that kind of skill set, you know? But I am all about it. And he's obviously, being his coach, he's going to let me know, and we'll talk a lot, because I tell him he's going to have to utilize resources when you get to that. There's going to be them days. You know, you're just going to need someone to talk to other than coach. Anyone, hey, my phone line's open. We'll be able to talk it up.
Hey, Coach, shifting gears a little bit, I know you used to coach football. You got out of that several years ago when you became the head basketball coach. But now you have a son who's a senior, plays basketball as well, but he's an offensive lineman, committed to Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, in the Aggies. So just talk about him a little bit. And East Carolina has a freshman quarterback, Ryan Stubblefield, who you're very familiar with.
Yes, sir. Ryan, so happy for Ryan. He's the poster board for you get out of it what you put in. Watch that young man grind over the last two summers prior to graduating. Then to see it, show off the hard work during the games last season with the passing. And a great kid, great family. Just to see the reward come his way was just awesome, and for others to see that. That's when you start your program building to see you put that work in because they were always grinding. Talk to his mom and his dad. They were always headed somewhere to some kind of training during the summer and whatnot. So it was just good to see for Ryan in a great place. He's enjoying it. I ran into his mom actually not too long ago. Just fingers crossed on the COVID stuff to keep everybody healthy and keep it rolling. As far as my son, it's been a blessing. I always tell coaches if you have that opportunity to coach your son, and it has been. A little quick history. My wife was the head girls coach here when my daughter came through. She coached my daughter. She got out when she went to college. She played here at SFA for a year and transferred to St. Edward's in Austin. So then my wife got out of it to go enjoy her. Having my son being a football is, a little different. But that process was a lot like the recruiting for my daughter. It was about finding a place. All is not lost. If something goes wrong, keep your resources open. Deuce, on the other hand, or Ruben, the second, we call him Deuce. It was a little different with the football, but he was such a, powerful individual on the court, playing at 6'8", 300 pounds with a 7'1", 7'2" wingspan. I mean, he's played EYBL. He's fun to watch. He's taking on some pretty good guys playing college ball that'll probably be in the league someday. So with that, he's been given that opportunity. He had a dual offer from Baylor, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, A&M. But they all know, hey, man, it's football first because it looks like you're going to be okay. And he matured between this last summer with this is what I need to concentrate on. If my body allows me to play the basketball, I'd love to get out there at worst, get on a practice squad and just, be inside shooting the ball and banging against whatever he needs to do. But he does know it's football first, and he enjoys that. It's been a blessing to be on the sideline to watch him and then to get to, coach him. Even though we get him late, because of the football program, obviously, y'all recruit and stuff. It's pretty good. Coach Mack does a great job. And we share our athletes, and when we get them, we get them, and we try to go win some ball games and try to, get these guys back in the playoffs. When I took over, it was pretty tough, but I was able to, jump right back into playoffs, won a district title. All this was first time. Last year, Chancellor was a part of that 25-win season, first time in program history. So it's been a lot of fun. Try not to take anything for granted, which we tell the kids now. You have to play everything like it's your last one because it possibly could be this era right now with what's going on. Getting back to my son. That recruiting process was lengthy. He seemed to enjoy it. I mean, he had a whole host. We were going everywhere trying to enjoy it on the other officials. Unfortunately for the officials that, he was going to take, as they kept moving those dates back, he had narrowed his list down to 9 and then he had cut it to 4. So when they moved the dates back, that probably hurt one or two others. But at the end of the day, he got most comfortable. You got to recruit him. We were able to take many trips to A&M. Those a little closer, but he loved Coach Jimbo, the new O-line coach, jumped right on him. He loved that family atmosphere and the fit. He loved, and that's kind of what it's about. Goes back to Chancellor. Hey, find that fit. He likes what he does for the O-lineman. He likes the development to maybe hopefully one day try to make it to the league. But, again, it goes back to, he enjoys it. They've been consistent, with a lot of the visits as the top 3 or 4 for him have, but, removing those officials, that hurts some possibly, But at the end of the day, he knew where he wanted to be, and he made his decision, and he's been moving forward ever since.
Well, Coach, you're down there in the state of Texas. Is that who you pulled for? Are you a Texas fan, or who do you pull for in college football, putting you on the spot?
I grew up with football, actually, before basketball. I love football, too. Don't get me wrong. I've been a Florida State Bobby Bowden fan since I was probably knee-high. Now, that was Bobby Bowden, I love UT. I love A&M. Wherever he could find it. For me personally, he couldn't go wrong. He couldn't go wrong with whatever he chose. He's going to be playing college football. He knows to get his education first. But he couldn't go wrong. So whenever he made his decision, I'm good with it. The fact that it's an hour and 20 minutes away from here,
right?
God's plan, awesome. We'll be there to watch more of him. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, very excited for him, and definitely excited for Jimbo Fisher. I think he's a good coach, and I think Deuce made a good decision. It looks like that the A&M program, the trajectory, they're going up, and looks like that they're building something special there in College Station, and looks like that you'll be celebrating a lot of wins in SEC coming up. That's my hope for you and for him.
Well, I sure appreciate that, David, and yes, we're hoping for that. He knows to get there and get it going, get his education, enjoy it best he can, because it's here today and gone tomorrow.
It goes
by. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you so much, Coach. We appreciate it, and love to have you back on when Chancellor, we get him back here on the in Greenville in a couple years. Love to have you back.
Absolutely. Hey, you guys got my contacts. Hey, appreciate it. I'm here anytime.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Coach. Enjoyed him very much. And like I said, we'll have him back on.
And Dave, an interesting fact about him, that a lot of people do not know, he's the inventor of the Reuben sandwich.
There you go. I tell you one thing, we could get off the topic, the Reuben objective. That's one of my favorite sandwiches. So
that's also Stacy's favorite sandwich.
You know who's got a good Reuben for a chain? And you would never think it. Arby's has a pretty solid Reuben.
Oh, Stacy loves the Arby's Reuben.
I have had that one. It is good. I've had it once, the one in Greenville, the Arby's there, and over on Fire Tower Road. I think I had it a year or so ago.
It's surprisingly good.
Another one is another good one, but I don't think they have it now anymore. Witch.
I've never had their Reuben. I can tell you, I've never had in Greenville. I've never had their Reuben either. But I've heard AJ McMurphy's has an excellent Reuben.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. Okay. I love AJ's. All right. Cool. Bubba, you want to go to our next guest?
Yeah. During the second part of the show, we will continue to talk college basketball. We caught up with our buddy Nate Ross, who was the longtime ESPN color analyst on ESPN3. But he did not call as many Pirate games last year. But still, we mentioned the Pirates as well as a lot of other college basketball topics, and let's go to that right now.
Well, guys, it's obviously one of our favorite times of year, the fall, which means it's now around Halloween. We're getting closer and closer and closer to college basketball season, and Bubba, one of our favorite guys, is back with us. So excited tonight to have him.
Yeah, college basketball season, like you said, is here. If you're talking about practice, and the games will be here before you know it, as November is a week away. And now to talk a little college hoops, welcome in our good buddy with ESPN, Nate Ross. Nate, welcome back into the show.
I'm glad to be here, guys. I'll tell you, 4 or 5 months ago, I didn't know if we were going to have a college basketball season, but it looks like we're going to do it now, and I'm fired up about it.
No doubt about it. I wanted to ask you, do you still have your bow ties? Are you getting them dry cleaned? Or, how are those, how are they doing it here? It's been such a long, long 2020.
Well, it's funny you said that. I was thinking about this afternoon. March 12th, I was sitting in a basketball tournament for the Big South.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody's cell phone rang at the same time and everybody walked off the court and that was it. So I got plenty of time to get the bow ties clean. They're ready to rock and roll. I just hope we have some games to go to.
Yeah, and that's a big thing right now is with what we're telling you on our pre-show meeting right here before we had it, the interview, about the lots of great things going on. One of the things that we know is there's going to be 27 games this year. They trimmed off by four games this for the regular season.
Well, they have to, and that's as of today. That might change in 3 days. So, I mean, yeah. It's daily, as we see from college football, the way things, on Friday they cancel a game. It's just, it's the result of dealing with this global pandemic. I hate to say it, but that's what it is. And, I think we're going to stay at that, but I'm sure college basketball coaches right now are happy to have any games.
No question about it, especially when you look at the one question that Dooley was talking about, Nate, and I want to get your thoughts. We've got several things to ask you, being that you have coached at Division I level. The one thing that comes to mind, the tricky part they're trying to figure out conference by conference, is football is a little bit easier because you're generally playing, obviously, one game a week. This particular case, if you go on the road, you've got SMU and Houston. Two games, there's a potential that you could lose a few players. What happens if you have a positive with SMU or the Houston game, you have a positive? They're trying to figure out about, like, right now they're testing, I think it's Bubba Wright for the American Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, I believe is right for the league. And so they're trying to figure out, what do you do if there's positives? You got guys that are on the road. It's just a little bit more, I think, trickier when it comes to college basketball.
When this whole thing started, you talk to friends, you talk to your neighbors about this stuff, and I always said there's so many more questions than there are answers. And right. That's continued. How many months are we into this thing? I think in football, you have to have a certain number of players to be eligible to actually play the game, at least in the SEC. So I'm sure that's a factor too. You got to have X number of players or you can't play the game. In fact, in the Colonial Conference, they changed their whole schedule where if you go, I live in Charleston, if the College of Charleston goes to Delaware this year, they play Saturday and Sunday, both games, and then come back. So right. They're trying to make it, let's get in the spot, let's play the games, and let's get out of there. So there's so many more questions, less bodies than you have to deal with football, but still a lot more questions, as you just alluded to, that have to be answered before they start.
Great point that you make. In fact, Bubba, they've talked about that. That very thing is that there'll be, with the conference games, there's going to be, you'll have 10 conference games, and what they're going to do is they'll, or 20 conference games, I guess, altogether, right, Bubba? 20 conference games, rather. And they'll have the, like, if we have Cincinnati, instead of having the home and home with Cincinnati, they potentially could be on the road at Cincinnati or two games in Greenville. Exactly what you said. Kind of like with college baseball. When you have a series with a team, just go ahead and get two or three out of the way, just like baseball, right?
That's exactly what they do in baseball. I never thought of that analogy, but that's exactly what they do. You're right. I mean, they want it, especially in the American, you have 20 conference games. You want to play all 20 somehow, some way. And they're going to have to maybe make adjustments as we go, because as you guys know, in that league, there's a lot of travel, and you're not going – an hour bus ride. You're going halfway across the country sometimes to Tulsa. So it's, and to Wichita. So that, hopefully there's not going to be issues, but I mean, you just got to adjust.
Speaking of, Bubba, I'm sorry. I was going to ask one quick question. I want to get your thoughts. One of the things that's very sad, that hopefully it's not true, but, want to get your thoughts on Greg Marshall at Wichita. When you said Wichita, I was going to ask, thought about that earlier. To ask you, Nate, a sad situation. How do you deal with that if you're a coach, if you're an administrator? How do you deal with something like that?
Well, if you're a coach, you just keep doing your job. But every time there's any kind of press conference, you know the questions are going to come up. As an administrator, I've never been one, but I've dealt with a lot of them. You got to find out the facts. I mean, you got to go and find out exactly what happened. And then compare it to what your coach is telling every reporter that asks him. So the concentration or the focus, it's got to be really tough for those kids, especially the ones that were there when all this happened. I don't know if they're still around or not. But they even went back to Winthrop and talked to people. So they're going to go way back for Coach Marshall. I'm surprised they haven't gone to the College of Charleston when he was an assistant. You know, reporters, and I always side with the coach, but reporters, they want a story. they're going to find out a story. Sometimes they might twist it a little bit to get their story. But you got to find out the facts. And then, like I said, to concentrate and to focus your team, he's going to have a tough task in doing that because of all these other factors.
You know, Bubba, when you played college sports, the thing about it is it seems like guys, whenever the coach is winning, in the past, like Bobby Knight, when he was winning, he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff back in the day, and he was winning national championships. But when he started not winning after that 92 Final Four, when Duke beat him, they had some lean years, and all of a sudden, it was, like all of a sudden that stuff became important, crazy stuff like choking players, all that kind of stuff. Back in the day, Nate, when our age group, I'm closer to your age than Bubba is, that stuff, I guess, was, I wouldn't say tolerated, but it was going on. And now this generation is just not putting up with that anymore.
Yeah, and people obviously are more sensitive than they used to be. I always joke, and I'm not going to say what I called them, but I told somebody if I had a dollar for every time I called this big 6'10 kid we had at Appalachian State a particular name, I'd be a millionaire today. But I'd be fired if I did it today. But, you know, you're motivated in different ways, not physically abusive. But society's changed. Kids have changed in the way, not the way they play and the way they work, but in how they've been brought up. So you just got to adjust to it. And we're going to find out what happened. It's just going to take some time.
I was talking to a former Carolina player from back in the day, and he said that Dean Smith, whenever he met you as a freshman, he would always say, okay, Dave and Bubba, what works for you as far as coaching? Do you like somebody to push you, you know, like to challenge you, or do you like somebody to champion you? And I thought that was really interesting to hear that. I heard that about 10, 12 years ago. I was talking to a Carolina player that's what he did. And I thought that was, that's why he was so successful as a coach.
Well, Dean Smith never, I've been to a couple North Carolina practices when he was coaching, never cursed. But he would talk to you in a calm tone and make you feel like you just made the biggest mistake in the history of college basketball. He was amazing at it. And you motivate people in different ways. Obviously, he had the gravitas where if he opened his mouth, you listened as a kid because he was the best of the best at the time. So it's just a different way to do it. And he was great at it.
Yeah, Nate, you know, we've talked about some of the creativity, in terms of, trying to get these ball games in, getting back to that. Today ESPN made the announcement they were abandoning plans for, a college basketball bubble, if you will, down in Orlando. And they were attempting to play 8 out of their 10 tournaments there. And now it appears that at least 6 of those 8 tournaments will not be played. So what were your thoughts on that? Cause I know you saw that news as well.
Yeah, I did see it. And just what we were talking about, you have 20 conference games or how many you have in your league. And then you have so many non-conference games. And those are big, number one, money makers. But number two, it's great exposure for these kids. And they're just games that, from what I read, the ESPN tried to follow CDC guidelines and everything else. And you're dealing with all these different conferences who each have their own set of rules. As far as testing and protocols and, like we said before, who tests positive, what happens. And they just couldn't get together. So they said, we're not going to have them. And that just changes your entire schedule, 3 weeks before you're ready to play. So it's tough. It's really tough. But it's what 2020 has been about, unfortunately, adjusting.
You know, Nate, with that very fact of you made a good point about the different leagues, I believe that this is a perfect example of why the NBA did such a great job having it down in Orlando with a bubble. And as far as college basketball is concerned, those leagues need to come together and get one group of safety protocols, because that will help things out. And this is a perfect example right here. But I've been very frustrated with sports, with this particular case, with if it's Major League Baseball or different things. Look, do it for the common good. You know that would be great for the game of college basketball. And it's a shame to see where, well, we can't see the eye to eye. It's not like it's COVID-19 is our enemy, not the individual leagues, right? Or players or the different conference commissioners. Yeah, you like to have autonomy, when it comes to the individual leagues. I understand on certain things, but this particular thing is something that we really ought to come together.
No, there's no doubt. In fact, each state, I think, determines percentage of fans and all that kind of stuff. But they don't control this other stuff. The NCAA, that's a whole other conversation, but the NCAA controls most of college basketball, not football, because of the Power Five. But if you had a committee to say, this is the way college basketball is going to do it, and obviously more than one brain would get involved with that, it would make things a lot simpler. It really would. But it's not going to happen this year, I don't think.
Hey, Nate, getting back to those tournaments, I referenced that there were a couple that were probably still going to be played out of those eight that were going to be part of that Orlando bubble. You have the Champions Classic, which involves Michigan State against Duke and also Kansas and Kentucky. It appears that that will be played somewhere. And then the Jimmy V Classic, which is scheduled to feature Baylor and Illinois and also Gonzaga against Tennessee. And then a couple others that I made note of, you have the Maui Invitational coming to North Carolina at Harris Cherokee Casino in that conference center. And then you also have the Battle for Atlantis. It was canceled, but there was a rumor at one time that it was being moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, how'd you like the Battle for Atlantis, son? We're going to recruit you. You're going to go there. Okay, we're going to Sioux Falls. And then instead of Maui, let's go to downtown Asheville. It's not bad. It's a nice place.
But
it is what it is. At least they're going to play. That's a beautiful arena in Asheville, too. I've never been to one in Sioux Falls. But once again, it's what we're going to have to do this year. And hopefully only this year, but you never know. The kids just want to play basketball. I just hope they have fans there for all that stuff. Because college basketball is all about the fans. That's unfortunately, we didn't have an NCAA tournament last year. And that, you know, that's what the country runs on. Is that first couple weekends and then all the way to the Final Four. But hopefully that'll change this year and we'll do that. But let's just get this thing started and then we can adjust as to what happens.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is we've seen that even though there has been postponements and they have had a poor Houston, the Cougars, man, the football team, they went how many weeks in a row, Bubba? 3-4 weeks? Because, and it wasn't their fault. They had other teams that had an outbreak.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, as far as, basketball is concerned, Bubba, I want to see if we can get media credentials for the Maui there in Cherokee. And, I don't know. You know, what's funny, Nate, is, I was telling Bubba before, maybe we should wear Hawaiian shirts. Maybe we can do that in Cherokee.
I'll tell you, Bill Walton's there. He'll wear them. That would be great. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And we just got to deal with it. One thing, good thing about basketball as opposed to football, is if you don't play on Monday because of something, you can find a day in the next couple of weeks to play the game. Now, granted, you got to deal in the American with East Carolina, you got to deal with crazy travel that would mess things up. But like you said, like we said in the Colonial, you might end up going to Tulsa and playing two games.
Yeah, instead of the flowered shirts, like you're saying, Dave, I think all the coaches and fans and players, you'll see them with headdresses on.
Well, it's funny, you know, in the ACC, they voted, the coaches did, no more suits. They're going to wear golf shirts. So it's going to be interesting to see what the rest of the league does. But the ACC, and I just read an article that said, I didn't know it had to come to a vote, but evidently it did. So all those coaches that are getting a lot of money to wear so-and-so suits aren't going to wear them in games.
That's a shame because you see, like, Coach Dooley, Nate, he, after about 5 minutes, he looks like he's run a marathon. He's sweating more than, and the arena is like not that hot. I mean, back in the day, Menjies, Bubba can tell you, Menjies didn't have air conditioning. You can understand, back in the day, up until about 95, Nate, well, that's why Williams Arena, what?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you, Dave.
It was really bad.
Back when Menjies had the old wooden bleachers, back from, you know, the mid to late 60s, up through 1994, like you're saying, it was a place that was a very challenging environment for opponents for multiple reasons.
Yeah, it was extremely hot. And anyway, the new arena came 25 years ago. That's when we finally got air conditioning. But my point was, I could understand why you're sweating really bad in a suit, you know, and tie in an arena that has no air conditioning. But when it has air conditioning, that Houston game a year before last, I've never seen Dooley that outraged, but more technicals I've ever seen in all my life, but that's a whole nother show, as they say. He said he didn't deserve the first technical, but the second technical he did. The first technical he deserved, but the second one he did not deserve.
Hey, Dave, do you remember what he called the official that night at the press conference?
Refresh my memory. I do.
He called him Sparky.
Oh, Sparky, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that, as far as I know, Bubba wants to talk about one of the things that we wanted to talk about with you, and I'll let Bubba add, but put the next topic out to you, Nate, is, being a former Division I head coach, and you've, definitely know about eligibility and with scholarships. This year is very strange to have that extra year. That's going to put a lot of, question marks. It's going to make being a coach or an assistant coaches and head coach, even more
stress. I have X number of seniors and I got to fill it in, but I can't have too many freshmen because then in 3 years that class will be, too many and you can't fill in and you don't want one senior. There's so many different plans you have and now it's all thrown away because if you're a high school senior and you think you're coming to ECU, because their point guard is graduating. And boy, are you getting an opportunity. Well, now that point guard's got next year of eligibility. And for any position in any school, the big problem I see is you got to pay for it somehow. I mean, the school's not going to say, okay, we'll give these four seniors an extra year, but we won't charge them tuition. No big deal. We won't charge them room and boards. That's not going to happen. Right. So somehow this money's got to happen. Now, granted, in basketball, there's a lot less scholarships involved than there is in football, but still the school's got to come up with this money somehow. So that's the hard part. And then the junior college kid that's coming in or the freshman that's coming in thinks he's got an opportunity. And now with the extra year, maybe he committed and didn't sign the national letter yet. And he thinks twice about it. So it just throws everything into turmoil somewhat. You got to assure the young man there's an opportunity for you, but he's not a dummy. He knows that power forward's not graduating, that he thought he'd have a chance to play. So it's just so many different things that have to come into for the coaches to deal with and the players. But I really think the bottom line is somebody's got to pay for this. That's going to be the hard part. Now, at East Carolina or at Tulsa, that's not a big deal. But I used to coach at the Citadel. They're doing the same thing. I don't know where they're getting the money, or at Presbyterian or somebody in the Big South. Scholarships are expensive. I don't know how they're going to pay for it.
Yeah, you talk about
East Carolina's situation, Nate. Unfortunately, our financial situation isn't as good or nowhere close to what you may think it is right now. Obviously, everybody's struggling, but even prior to the pandemic that we've been going through the last 7 months or so, I mean, you take a look at things, and East Carolina was going – down the wrong path because of stuff that's happened in the last 3 to 4 years, if not farther back.
I was being politically correct. I know exactly the situation they're in because Kyle Robbins is a good friend of mine, but it's still going to be something that's, they got to come up with money somehow.
Yeah. I was going to, as far as that's concerned, is that something that, as far as we're concerned, being members of the Pirate Club, Bubba and I and Kyle as well, I think that, you know, when you have like a association, they say, hey, we have an assessment of $2,000 or $1,000, whatever you have to pay, whatever, with a homeowners association, right, whatever the case may be. I'm feeling like, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there. This is an idea that just came on the top of my head. So help me out for both of you. But it would seem to me that you would have something like that for the Pirate Club, or say, hey guys, we need these 10 scholarships paid at, for example, it's $16,000 a year, guys, on in-state for the state of North Carolina resident for to come to East Carolina. I'm not sure out of state, but it's $16,000 in-state. And a lot of our guys are not in-state players. Some of them are, but most of them are not. And so you're going to be paying out-of-state tuition and room and board and all that, which I don't know what the cost is now, but you have to do that multiple. And I would think that that would be – right now we have what 13 scholarship players, I think, Bubba, somewhere around there. Plus we have we have the walk-ons, but you're already looking at 17, 18 guys, that are that are already there on the basketball team. And then you've got the incoming guys coming in next year.
Somehow you got to become very creative as a fundraiser. That's not the favorite job in most universities right now because of what's going on. But you just got to become creative and somehow get it. A lot of times they'll waive the out-of-state tuition for some kids to make it a little easier on the athletic department. But you still got to pay for it somehow. So those guys are going to earn their money, whatever they're making, those fundraisers.
No question. We've got to find a way to be creative and do that. So what are your thoughts as far as when you're talking about the different leagues and as far as the tournament that we were talking before pre-show, there's no way in the world you can go 2 years in a row. I know Coach K, a lot of the coaches, commissioners, different ones, there's no way you can go 2 years without having the National Basketball Tournament, March Madness, coming up at the end of the season.
No, I think if that did happen, I hope to goodness it doesn't happen, you start losing fans. It's like, you know, fans like college basketball, but fans love March Madness. And just to go back real quick about the money thing, you have less fans in the stands too, so there's even less revenue that way. And I was a phys ed major, but I'm thinking about the money here. But no, without an NCAA tournament this year, I think college basketball might be something that they could not recover from. They got to have it somehow, some way. Even if they have to limit the field to less than the 68, somehow you just can't get away with not having one this year because of how dramatically it was just stopped last year. And everybody was like, come on, you can't really do this. But they had to, and they did. So I'm sure they're thinking about that before the season even starts. But somehow they got to have some kind of NCAA tournament.
No question about it. Talk to us about, I know for you, you're on ESPN. Have you heard anything about as far as assignments are concerned?
I figured you'd ask that. It's funny because Jeff McCarrigan and I in town in Charleston here do the Coastal Carolina football games on ESPN3. And we have yet to do a game because Coastal Carolina has become the darlings of college football. And they keep bumping the game up to ESPN and ESPN2. And they use their contract guys to do that. So we have not done a game yet.
Wow.
If the numbers of games get lower, unfortunately, I'm on the bottom of the totem pole. So I don't know what's going to happen. But they've been telling me, just wait. And that's all I can do. I don't know what's going to happen. Because I'm sure all the people that were going to do all these tournaments that were in Orlando are not going to do them now. And they're on their contract. They got to do X number of games. So right. I just get bumped down a little lower. But it is what it is. That's why I'm caddying at the Ocean Course still 3 days a week.
I want to ask you, how is your business? I know you had the golf business that you started was a year or two ago. How is that going?
It is stopped because
with COVID, right?
Most clubs do not want any outside vendors because they're afraid of social. I mean, golf's a perfect social distancing sport. But if you're at a driver range and everybody's next to each other and I got my tent set up, it's just they've been afraid to have outside vendors. So it hasn't stopped. Let's say it's just been on hold for a while.
Nate, I'm arriving late. I'm sure this has been talked about already, but to just repeat it for my case, what is the non-conference schedule looking like for college basketball? Do we know anything yet?
Well, I think because – these tournaments we just talked about in Orlando are to cancel. All these teams got to find games. So I think they're going to have a lot more non-conference games because the conference schedule is already set. And this could change weekly, unfortunately. So if you go to most websites, and I went to a bunch of them today, the conference schedule's out there. The non-conference says TBA will be announced very soon because it's so fluid right now.
Maybe regional would be a good way to go, you know.
Absolutely. That's travel.
Yeah, if you're in North Carolina, like East Carolina is, there's plenty of schools to play.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's less travel and it's less costly. And if you got to play games, you got to play games.
Yep.
No doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting. But, Nate, we're going to have you back on from time to time because it looks like the situation, not only we enjoy your visits, but things are so fluid that what we're talking about now normally would last, but it looks like it's almost like a day-to-day kind of thing, as we talked about earlier.
No, I think it's good. You got to learn to adjust day to day, week to week. And because of the cold weather, you and I were talking before we went on the air here, this thing might spike and that's flu season, all that stuff. So you just got to be flexible. And coaches hate that. Coaches like regimen. Coaches like routines. But it's 2020, guys. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, numbers are going up like crazy in Eastern North Carolina. And I'm going to tell everybody right now, with the numbers going up, Thanksgiving's coming. And everybody's going to be visiting. Everybody's going to do Thanksgiving. And it's going to be hard to convince people to wear masks around family. And that's when I think we're really going to see ridiculous numbers, is the week to 2 weeks after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think most of the schools have adjusted their academic schedule to keep kids away from school. But like you said, right, when they go home, you can't control them. So it's going to be interesting.
They moved the semester up for the fall semester. They moved it up early August so that they'll be done, like you said, Nate, around Thanksgiving. They'll be done, which normally would be 2 weeks later, where you would go back and then come back home for Christmas break. But instead, they're ending that right on Thanksgiving, which is for that very reason. How can people follow your work, Nate? We definitely look forward to the college basketball season, and plug your social media. And I look forward to seeing you with the bow ties and everything. And I'm hoping we can get you back to Williams Arena. I'm telling you, the product that Joe Dooley, he always says that, to put on the floor, it's going to be even better. We're going to take baby steps this year, but I think it's going to be even better.
Well, I'm sure he knows what he's doing. It's just, it's a matter of recruiting, and he and his assistants are busting their butt to go out and get the best. And that's so different too, because you can't meet with the kid face to face in his house, but Coach Dooley's a good man. He'll get it done.
No question. How can people follow you on Twitter and social media, as far as Facebook and the like?
Just Google Nate Ross, and it's all the stuff is right there. It's because my Twitter handle is a little weird. Everybody told me I shouldn't have done it. It's HUPNLST, which is hoop analyst, but people said that's too complicated. So just Google Nate Ross. My schedule will be up there and all that stuff.
All right. Nate, thanks so much for the visit. Look forward to having you back on here real soon. In fact, maybe we can have you on post-Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, that's when the college basketball season starts, and love to have you back on then.
Anytime, you guys. I appreciate you having me. I'll do it anytime. I love it. Thanks.
Thanks to Nate. We need to chip in together. Maybe we could get a purple and gold bow tie for Nate. We love Nate, and that's one of his signature things, is to wear a bow tie for the basketball games. And that would be cool to see him wear that bow tie and be calling a game, right?
When do you think we're going to find out something about some non-conference games? I mean, are we just going to do a conference schedule? I mean, the NCAA is so much more in control of this than football. And, you know, all these tournaments keep getting canceled that are supposed to be in bubbles. So, I mean, what is the latest? I mean, what are you guys hearing? Do we have any I don't guess we have any non-conference games announced.
Well, the thing is that they have, we have the one in Fort Myers.
That tournament is still on as of right now?
It is. The problem we had is we had Vermont, that's a really good basketball team, you know, make the tournament. They, of course, pulled out. We've had some teams pull out, so they're trying to add some teams. They're looking at teams. It's almost like conference realignment. It's crazy about this team has left the conference, and this team, they've had, as far as the tournaments go, they're losing teams. They're having to add teams.
It seems like it would just be smart to play regional non-conference basketball. Like, let's do the old Pepsi tournament in Charlotte with a bunch of North Carolina teams.
I have no problem with that.
I mean, that's what would make sense to me.
Or how about the Pirate Invitational, where you have, where we have Campbell and James Madison, you know, like those kind of Wilmington and different teams come for a weekend, and you have play two or three games.
Yeah. I mean, it's
No, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me, is that the travel.
Well, Bubba just texted me something and caught me completely off guard. So,
I got it too.
You're right, Bubba. Go ahead, Bubba.
I just said, I realized I left y'all speechless with that what? Message I just sent to the group text.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Bubba. I don't. You're damn right.
You know, the funny thing is, the reason I'm laughing is because I read it. But what I'm laughing about is I was expecting Kyle to talk, and I don't think I've ever seen you speechless. So that was.
Well, it's not really that I'm speechless. It took me a minute to realize. what he was, because what he was saying. It took me a minute to get the reference. And then when I got the reference, then it was funny. And now our listeners don't know what the hell we're talking about, and nor will
that's
they.
Okay. That's okay. That's good. That's part of the charm of when you do when you do a show, you can have group texts within a show, and it's a show within a show that you. Anyway,
in the radio business, we call that an inside joke.
That's correct. So we'll keep those inside jokes inside. We won't let them out. Anyway, we'll keep it there. But as far as
we've talked about a lot of food tonight. I mean, what is you guys' favorite cream pie?
Oh man, I don't really. I love, honestly, it's gonna say politically correct, but I love them all. Something like Boston cream. Like a Boston
cream's good. Yeah, I like the coconut. A coconut cream pie would be good.
Yeah.
Bob, what about you?
I agree with Dave. That's what I've a lot of times, like a covered dish or Christmas or stuff. Different people I've been around have made a Boston cream pie dessert.
Cake. That's actually a cake, though. They call it a pie. That's actually a cake.
Boston cream cake, but. That's what
I call it a pie, but it is a cake.
But
yeah,
that would be my go-to, I guess.
And coconut cream pie is pretty good too.
Hey, I'll take it. All of the above, for sure.
All right, yeah. And by the way, imagine how confused people are right now.
my mamaw, which is my dad's mother, who passed away back in 2015, she made an excellent coconut cream pie.
Right, I've heard good things about your grandma's cream pie.
I have a question about Thanksgiving. What is your favorite dish? I had some turkey today. So while we're talking about food, is there, if you can only have one item at Thanksgiving that you can't, that there's no way in the world you can take away, what would that be? What's the one thing that you got to have for sure?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I that's hard to say.
I'm talking about a dish. Not, you're going to have turkey and dressing.
But. Okay, so
while Kyle's thinking, I have my answer. Sweet potato casserole.
Ooh. That's
I may have to back Bubba up with that one. I mean, if turkey and dressing is mandatory, sweet potato casserole is pretty hard to beat. Pecan pie, pumpkin pie.
Green bean casserole, do you like that?
Green bean casserole, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love green bean casserole. Yeah, it's hard for me to pick just one being a fat ass. I'm going to have to go, like I said, if dressing and turkey standard, I'm going to have to go with the sweet potato casserole or maybe deviled eggs.
All right. And I do have one other question for you guys. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I had a Facebook friend, a close friend of mine that was asking if it's okay to go ahead and put a Christmas tree up. This was a week ago. So was that 2 weeks before or a week or so before Halloween? Is that good or not? Do you guys, and then we'll get back to sports. But I want to ask you guys that question.
None of my business. None of my business. I don't give a damn what they do.
To each their own. But for me, no.
I wouldn't put one that early. We typically put ours up.
Right?
We typically put ours up the weekend before Thanksgiving, but okay. We sometimes will do it two weekends before Thanksgiving.
I have no I have no problem with that, to have a Christmas tree that early, but before even Halloween, I don't know. Like you said, I really don't care, but that's, if you want to ask my opinion, I feel like it should be at least in November, at least November. Let Halloween come, because Thanksgiving is pretty much just the football, and we don't have parades anymore. I don't even think they'll have Macy's, so my Macy's parade is one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving, eating and then football. Anyway, I just want to ask you that, guys, that question.
But the Macy's parade is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving, even above eating?
One of my favorites, not my number one.
Well, that's the way you listed it. You said Macy's parade, eating, and then football.
Well, it's in that order, though. Macy's parade is in the morning.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about the order of the day, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's – that's going to be tough not having that. But another thing that I
remember as a kid watching, used to be, they don't do it now, but I remember as a kid used to on Thanksgiving Day, I believe it's the local WNCT Channel 9. They used to always show a homecoming, the Walton's Christmas on Thanksgiving Day. That's always been a tradition to watch that.
That's good stuff. That's one of my, you and I share that, one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, sure. Great show. Great show.
All right, so let's talk about, speaking of show, we do a thing called sports. We're the Sports Objective. So we've had a lot of fun talking non-sports, but certainly tonight when it comes to the Pirates, we're going to have our Pirate preview once again, folks, on Wednesday. So take note of that as we have Kelly Hines from the Tulsa World and then Travis Simmons. Man, he was fantastic against Tulsa so many times. Bubba did an excellent job on getting those two guests. We'll have it on Friday night. I'm sorry, the game is on Friday night. We'll have it on Wednesday night. Everything is bumped back. And by the way, folks, want to remind you, Bubba, I know that today we had the press conference being Monday for Coach Mike Houston. Tuesday, you're going to have the coordinators, and Wednesday, you'll have Mike Houston. So everything is bumped up a day, right?
Yeah, you know how it goes. That's what Tuesday became Wednesday. Wednesday became Thursday, et cetera, like Ruff used to always say. And that's something – people always laughed at it, but – and that's something that all coaches across the country, when you have these Friday night or Thursday night games, they adjust the schedule accordingly. But it was – I understand why people thought it was funny when Coach Ruff said that. But yeah, we'll –
Oops. We lose Bubba there for a second. Anyway, I was going to ask you, Kyle and Bubba, I'm not a big fan of Friday night games. I know it's TV, so I get that, but it's just so bizarre. 9 o'clock on Friday night is just really bizarre to have a game time, but I know it's the window and the world we live in as far as TV contracts.
Yeah, it is what it is. Playing one Friday night game a year doesn't bother me. If it was multiple,
we have two.
Oh, you do? We do have to. Well, that doesn't bother me.
Hey, at least you're on the
particularly road. this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's oddball year anyway, so.
It really doesn't matter at all this year because there's no high school football in North Carolina right now. So
it's a good thing we don't have Charlie Adams to breathing down our neck to, threaten to do everything that he threatened back, 18 years ago.
Well, our boy Harold Robinson got that all stirred up.
Well, I mean, when you look at a situation, and I understand the situation for TV, but you look at a situation like with Eastern North Carolina, I can speak to Bubba, you can speak to the Western part, and Kyle, you know Eastern North Carolina too. You look at these small towns, I mean, I literally live 1 mile from the high school, and you can hear the band, you can hear...
Well, yeah, it's become such a routine thing now that it doesn't matter, even if there was high school football. Now that the ACC does it, it's okay. So it's routine.
I think Wake Forest has had multiple Friday night games this year.
Well, they have two, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They played Campbell on a Friday night, and I think somebody else.
Yeah. And they played, was it UNC and Wake? I'm pretty positive UNC and Wake Forest played on a Friday night last year.
I believe they had two, yeah.
Yeah, I know they did. Last year when people could go to high school games, they played on a Friday night, and Wake Forest upset them. No. Yeah, Wake Forest upset them. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's the world we live in. Just like I cannot stand. Let me just say, I cannot stand. They don't care because it's a shield. I cannot stand Thursday night football on the NFL. It's terrible. It's absolutely hot garbage for games, and it's a big waste of time. They've hurt their product by having games on Thursday night. So. Not that, again, that they care, but I am very happy that the Redskins beat the Cowboys yesterday. I'm very happy about that. So 25-3.
You mean football team?
Yeah, well, they're lame. Yeah. Aren't we supposed to have Doc Walker on? Can we talk to him about that? They're going to go another year. The team president last week announced they're going to go another year as a Washington football team, which is ridiculous. It takes 10 minutes to come up with a name. Come on. Legally, I know that.
Do you say go football team?
Go Redskins.
We go football team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why they just don't call themselves the Washington Red. Just call yourself the Washington Red and be done with it.
Well, they actually, the one that people are really excited about is the Red Wolves, Arkansas State. I know that they've gone after high school teams for using that mascot or something. It's been crazy, but or other schools, but I think Washington, the team, the pro team has enough money that they can tell Arkansas State, see you later. The Red Wolves would mean you could still do HTTR and you could obviously have a really cool wolf or, you know, you could have a really cool, logo and everything. I like the idea of the Red Wolves and the Red Wolves are actually an endangered species and they're from that Northern Virginia area. So it makes perfect sense that to have that a perfect fit. So we'll see. I know we'll just have to wait another year and have the lamest thing ever to call the Washington football team. It sounds like somebody that would be so offended that we'd have now the lamest, non-mascot name ever.
Go football team.
Yeah, exactly.
Some other things. I know we talked about some takeaways we had with the Big Ten, just college football in general. Did you guys see the quadruple doink on the what would have been the game-winning field goal in the Rice Middle Tennessee game, a game that Middle Tennessee ended up winning 40-34 in double overtime? The Rice kicker on the final play of regulation, I think it was, and put it off the right upright. It was a fairly lengthy field goal, but then it went from the right upright to the crossbar to the left upright, back to the crossbar, and then fell short.
Oh, sounds my like God. A
pinball. Pinball game.
No, that would have made me sick, though.
You should have seen the Rice players there. They're like, what's this? There were so many doinks. Some of them had run probably 15 or 20 yards toward the end zone, ready to celebrate, and then just headed back to the sideline.
Oh, my God.
But heartbreaker for the Owls after everything they've been through. And how weird was that for them to be playing their first game and then Middle Tennessee to be playing what about their sixth game?
Yeah, Middle Tennessee's awful.
Seventh game, maybe. Yeah, I think they may be 2-5 now.
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason they got Rice because that was Rice's first game. So it took a miracle.
In addition to that, you had Boise State won handily against Utah State, but did you guys see the
Hey, how about let me cut you off, Bubba, before we're talking Mountain West football, the return of the Mountain West. How about our Brady Hoke, former East Carolina head coaching candidate?
Yes.
That Jeffrey Comfer couldn't pull the trigger on.
That corresponded with one of my other Big Ten takeaways that I did not get to. The Maryland Terrapins falling 43-3 to Pat Fitzgerald's Northwestern Wildcats. I know you were heartbroken, Kyle. Yeah. And
Scotty Moe scores three.
Maryland had about 200 yards of total offense.
Scotty Moe scores 3 points, 200 yards of offense. Meanwhile, Brady Hoke returns to the sidelines as a head coach and wins 35-6, I believe it was, something like that. Over UNLV. So, there you go. That's all I got to say. You think things might have turned out a little different? And also somebody on Boneyard Banner when I posted that said, well, we couldn't afford him. Well, you know what? What not affording Brady Hoke did and hiring Scotty Montgomery costed us millions of dollars.
And you know, something else is that guy knew how to coach football and it came down to not paying some damn assistants. Come on.
I don't even believe that 100%, Dave. I really don't. I think if you have somebody, if you're in my office and I want to hire you and I like you and you're like, I want this from my assistants, I say, you know what, Dave? I said, I can't get there now, but I can get as close as we can. You know what? We're going to work it. We're going to figure it out. Let's work together on this, and I get your name on that contract. So I do not believe that was 100% the deal breaker. I think Jeff Comfer was just a jerk. I think Brady Hoke is very much personality-wise like a Ruffin McNeil, and that's not what Jeff wanted. I think the only reason Jeff was interviewing Hoke was because he felt like he needed a big name, and when he got him in the office, they were two different kinds of people.
And that very well could be. I mean, this just – terrible to think about all the mishaps over the last decade. The good news is our basketball team is heading the right direction. Football team is heading the right direction. Baseball has been on top. My fear is hopefully that we can get the season in for, I don't want 2 years in a row without Cliff Godwin and baseball. That's my biggest fear. My fear is not about the baseball team or the program, but just the circumstances of COVID and hopefully we'll be done by that mess and be able to play baseball. That's my that's my prayer for him and all the great staff and the great
players. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. To be sure, by the spring, we say that, and then we keep saying
it. Yeah, I know. That's what... Hopefully, we'll by then.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, baseball and the rest of the Olympic non-revenue sports. If COVID's still very active, I'm not convinced that we'll play in the spring because there's no money to where. Well,
we do in baseball.
A lot of things can make the money in baseball, but right. Most schools can't. So it'll be interesting to see if COVID's still very active, what happens to the spring sports this spring after basketball.
Hey, and you talk about East Carolina and kind of maybe being able to get fairly close to breaking even in baseball. I don't know those hard numbers, but under COVID times where we can't have our average of 3,000+ and sell a couple thousand season tickets, then we certainly cannot. But getting back to a couple other things from last weekend, Kyle, you have Liberty 6-0 now,
yeah.
BYU 6-0, and then also Marshall's 5-0, and hopefully we'll still get a take on Marshall. We could be ending our season against back-to-back undefeated teams.
What, SMU lost to Cincinnati?
Yes, I'm sorry. We could be taking on ranked teams to end the season.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, Cincinnati also, if you're talking about teams are still undefeated, Cincinnati also is still undefeated and up to number 7 now in the polls. And I think if Cincinnati runs the table, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I think it's sitting up just right. If Ohio State I'll say it like this. If Ohio State loses one and if Oklahoma State loses two, I think Cincinnati can make the playoffs.
And let me say this, Kyle, you brought, thank you for saying that because Cincinnati, Coach Houston said last year after that Cincinnati game where we should have won, at home in Dowdy-Ficklin. But anyway, Luke Fickell's done a nice job. They're, obviously a conference made in the American. It is so ridiculous. I mean, it's so ridiculous that a team, if they run the table, they should be in the playoff. Don't give me this mess about two losses in SEC. Don't give me that mess. If they run the table, I think Cincinnati could beat some teams, obviously in SEC, without even sweating.
You got to fill in your spots here. Alabama, if they take care of business, they're going to be
and
in.
Clemson. Alabama, Clemson's
in. And Ohio State, if they win out, is in.
They're in.
Now, so I mentioned Ohio State needing to lose one. Not even really. It's that fourth spot.
Yeah.
So if Oklahoma State can lose two, then I think Cincinnati's in the conversation. I think, there'll be a two-loss SEC school in the conversation also. But like I said, if you get Oklahoma State to lose two, maybe even just one, and Cincinnati's undefeated, they'll be in the conversation this year.
Here's what I was going to bring up real fast is the very fact that Alabama's already beat Georgia, right? Okay, so they beat them in the regular season. Let's say that it's most likely, I'm not a betting man, but I would think that it's probably going to be Alabama and Georgia again in the conference championship for the SEC. So if Alabama beats them twice, they don't deserve to be in the Final Four. I'm sorry, they don't deserve to be in the CFP. And I'm not I like Georgia. I think that they've got a great coach. But if they lose twice to Alabama, then they don't deserve to be in. Our Mike Ray is our good friend. I know people that love Georgia. I'm not anti-Georgia. I just feel like that two losses to Alabama would mean that you don't deserve to be on that stage. That's just me.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, if you lose twice to the same school and that school's in the playoffs, I don't see why you deserve a third shot at them.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with that.
Because there's some people, the reason I brought that up is I'm hearing these talking heads on SiriusXM and different ones that say it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and probably Ohio State. And I'm like, Georgia, if they lose the second time, and maybe they beat out, if they beat Alabama, maybe you could put them in there. But
Alabama in the SEC championship game, they're in.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, that I can understand that. I'm just saying that, but they haven't said that disclaimer. Like, in other words, it's almost like, well, even if they lose, like twice, and I'm like, no. You can't put them in there just because they're in the SEC. And I understand Alabama's Alabama, but still, you got to understand that you've got to get over that hump. If you're Kirby Smart, You're a great coach, great recruiter. You have an outstanding football team as far as their talent, everything. But they don't deserve if they lose twice to Alabama. Who knows? We have a lot of football left.
There's a lot of chance. There's a lot of time. I don't think Georgia will get in if they lose twice to Alabama. I think Cincinnati, if things play out right with Oklahoma State and with Georgia losing twice to Alabama, I think Cincinnati will have the most realistic shot of making the playoff than any Group of Five school has so far.
Yeah, I no question. And Cincinnati is it makes me feel good to know that our conference being the American, a lot of people may put it down, but I'm really excited. I love being in the American, and I think that it's a power league. I hate that term, but I do believe if you look at the I've said it many times, basketball is obviously a different animal, but you look at how great the basketball conference, I know there's not power leagues in basketball and college basketball, but you look how great the American is and you look at our top to bottom. I mean, East Carolina is getting better, and I feel like USF, they're rebuilding, but I feel like they'll be better. Those two teams outside of, and there's no more, and thank God, actually, there's no more Connecticut, because that actually means our conference is better, right? I mean, overall with the power rankings. So,
I guess. I mean, you mean football, basketball? I mean, football. I would like to have them in football this year. It would have been another win.
I know, but I know, but at least we have Houston and not Montgomery, so we can actually beat more than just Connecticut. So,
sure.
But anyway, and I think our guy got mad at me when I said that about a third of Montgomery's wins were in his career was against UConn, but. You know, they need to realize that.
Are you talking about Ryan Putterman of the current?
What's that?
Who are you talking about? Who did you say took offense to that?
You thought so, by the way. The what's his name? Dom.
Dom Amore.
Amore, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll never have him on again.
Unless we play him.
Kyle said every time we talked to him, it sounded like he was at a food court.
It did. It sounded like he was at the food court of the mall.
He was actually, he did the first time he told me that he was at the mall. So I don't know about that. Is it okay? Is it okay? And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to say? We want to have you on and to talk about the game and, please leave the food court. Don't go by the
Chick-fil-A. So I was right. He was at the food court at the mall.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, we're.
Okay. No, you should have said, no, Dom, it is not okay. This is the Sports Objective Podcast. Throw your tray away now and
get away from this thing, kids.
Get rid of your Auntie Anne's pretzel and your generic Chinese food.
Where's your go-to place to go at the mall as far as a food court?
Auntie Anne's pretzels, man. I love the cinnamon sugar pretzel bites.
Woo! That's good stuff there. And those little, what are those little bites they have that are so good?
Cinnamon sugar pretzel bites. That's what I just said.
No. There are another ones with the, like, is it like a pepperoni or what's inside?
I don't know. All I ever get is the cinnamon sugar pretzel bites.
Those are good. Yeah, I've had those. Those are good. That was another one I was thinking of. Oh my God. Anyway, before I digress, guys, we're going to have our preview. I'm praying that we can have a good time on Friday night after the game, for our playback. Hopefully, we win the game and I won't be able to sleep a couple hours anyway after the game because I'm so excited with a win. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, all our things will be happening this week with all the coordinators and press conferences. So keep it right here. Before we go, do you have any final thoughts, guys?
If we manage to pull off the upset of Tulsa, it would be humongous. And I want to know who's going to be at the airport with me at 5 a.m.
All right, Bubba, I know the Rosenbaums will be there. Probably Gary's driving like 85 miles an hour down 85 to
No, I will not commit to that. But if we manage to beat Tulsa on Friday night, I would not be surprised if I am up quite a while after that game because I will be very pumped because it will be undoubtedly the biggest win we've had since NC State of 2016 and probably even farther back than that to at least, I don't know, Virginia Tech in 2015 or Virginia Tech team in 2015. I mean, they were good, but they weren't any better than this Tulsa team. So you may even go back farther than that. This will be the best win we've had in a long time.
Correct.
It'll be a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, the great thing about it is, like I said, I don't think we're going to get blown out on Friday night. I think it's going to be a 10-point game, maybe two touchdowns. That's my early take on it. I'll have to look at things a little bit closer, but by the next couple of days, I will. But I've been looking at it, and that's my gut feeling. And maybe there's some way that we could have some trick plays or some plays on defense, like I was saying, that we could pull it off. We'll see. I don't think that's going to be the case, but you never know. That's why you have to play the game for sure. All right, guys. Thanks to our great guests. Thanks to Kyle Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast, and the original podcast of the Pirates. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.